Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord. As we come into Thy presence, we pray that You would speak to us. Give us Thy word this first Sunday as New Jerusalem Church for the new year, Father. We pray You would strengthen us by Thy word, empower us by Thy word, the same word with which You created the universe and everything that exists, Father. For without Thy word, Thy spoken word, nothing would exist. And we thank You for creating us for Your glory. We never existed before You made us, Father, but we were part of Thee in all eternity. When You wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And now as we come into the presence, Lord, we pray, Father, that You would speak to us and strengthen us and empower us. And let Thy name be written on our foreheads. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Father. Hallelujah. Let us turn to the book of 2 Peter, 1st chapter. And let us read from verse 3 and 4. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 3 and 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things, the word of God tells us here, that God has given us all things by His divine power. Now this verse does not say that He will hear our prayer and give us all things, but it says that God has already given us all things. Our God has given us Jesus Christ, in whom is everything, by whom the worlds were created, by whom we were created. And Jesus is in us, and we are in Jesus. According as His divine power hath created and given unto us all things. Now, if God has given unto us all things, why do we pray? Why do we wait for the rapture? Why do we wait for the future? The glory that awaits us. If we read the book of Titus and Timothy, God speaks in the past tense. God says, I have raised my church, I have manifested my power, I have glorified my son, I have exalted him, and I have transformed my children, and the bride has been exalted to the right hand of God, and God's plan has all been fulfilled. In order to understand and be friends with God and to have the same mind, because friends need to have the same mind. If me and Brother Jose and Brother Max didn't have the same mind, we wouldn't get along in the spirit. God tells about the children of Israel, I can't get along with them. Did God have some problems with the relationships? He didn't have problem, but the people of Israel had problem being a friend of God. God said, you are my children, you are my friends. And then He got tired of them. He said, man, this is like a one-sided thing. I've done everything for them. I've told them the future, the glory for all eternity. They cannot think in the past tense. They're always thinking in the future tense. What do I do about tomorrow? What do I do about that? What do I do if that doesn't happen? And how am I going to do this promise that God has given me? What if the manna doesn't fall from heaven tomorrow? What will my family do? What if the water doesn't come out of the rock? And God said, I'm tired of these people. I don't like them. It's interesting when God says, I don't like some people. But then He says, Caleb and Joshua have a different spirit. And they believed the future in the past tense. Why did God like Caleb and Joshua? What was different about Caleb and Joshua? So we may also understand how God expects us to think. We know the spies retreated when they saw the Anakims. Some of the Anakims were like 30 feet tall. Ahaz was close to 29, 27, 28 feet tall. He was a monster. He was even bigger than T-Rex. And literally, the place was so cold that they saw the clouds going on their heads, the low-lying clouds. And they said, we were like grasshoppers. And they said, nope, I know God made a promise, but hey, I really don't think it's logical. I really don't think it's feasible. But Caleb and Joshua made a statement that is very unique. The battle was not fought. Not even one arrow was shot. But Caleb and Joshua said, God has already given them into our hands. We have already won the victory. Let's go and possess it. So God said, I like the spirit of Joshua and Caleb because they think in the future tense and they consider the future the past tense. And the same way with Abraham. I have made you a father of many nations. Not I will make you, but I have made you. So in order to get along with God and be his friend, he doesn't like that word, Lord, when are you going to do this thing that you promised? But he wants us to say, Lord, I thank you for what you have done for me. I thank you for all the mercies and glory and for answering my prayer. And there is one promise. Not one promise, but many promises. We see in 2 Peter 1st chapter, 4th verse, whereunto are given us unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now the promises in God's word are not for the future tense. That's where many children of God miss the point. When God gave us these promises from Genesis to Revelation, these promises are ours to possess, and it has already happened in our lives. And so let us look at one of the promises that God has made unto us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 68 verse 6. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You know, I have colleagues at work, and we have friends, and we have relatives who are all alone. We had the holidays, Christmas and New Year. We may not understand how they feel, but we know how God feels. Here is one promise. God is saying, those who are lonely, those who are his children, those who are living in isolation, God will create families for them. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. The only reason God's promises won't be fulfilled in anybody's life is when we give up and we are rebellious and say, this has taken too long, I'm fed up. But Abraham didn't give up. Sarah didn't give up. And so out of his seed came Isaac. And from Isaac, Jacob and King David and Jesus Christ. And the promise, in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. Abraham took that in the future tense. Now, what is the focus of these verses? First, we read about promises, that we need to take the promises of God not in the future tense, but in the past tense. The reason is we are in a battlefield. God is fighting for us. He already has possessed the heavens and the earth and the universe on behalf of us. And it belongs to him. And there is a war going on. You know, a few days back, we saw President Trump, and he killed one of the worst terrorists in the world. That guy was doing whatever he wanted, but he didn't know that the day of reckoning was very close, and it happened, and one of the worst terrorists in world history was taken out by President Trump. Now we see the army that the United States has, we see the armies of this world, and we forget. All we think about is Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, a baby in the manger. But we forget the fact that Jesus Christ is the captain of the Lord's host, and he's our captain. Jesus Christ is a warrior. God has a war that he is in right now. The children of the living God, New Jerusalem Church, have a war that we are in right now. The destiny, the end of the warfare has already been told to us. And we also read about that in the book of Joel. A fire goes before them and fire behind them. And we are the church of the living God. We are in warfare. We read in the book of Ephesians that we are in warfare. What kind of warfare? To fulfill the promises of God and to take away the universe that the devil stole from God and from his church. In Ephesians chapter 6, we say, we read, we battle not in the flesh, but in the spirit against principalities and powers. How is the battle happening? It says in the Psalm 68, verse 7, O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, there is all kinds of blasphemy going on. If people knew how powerful God was, and that he has an army, and that he is marching before in warfare, they would respect God. Now the word here, the key word here is, when thou didst march through the wilderness. We only know what happened so the children of Israel could inherit the land of Canaan. But spiritually, here is what is happening. We are in a battle. The enemy is in a battle trying to overcome the children of God and the people of God and the church of the living God, New Jerusalem. The army of God, which consists of billions and billions of angels with drawn swords and powerful weapons, are marching forward. We are following Jesus and his host, and we have an army. We have a battle that we are in. We are not just preaching and worshiping God. We are in the midst of the battlefield. The battle started when Adam ate the forbidden fruit. Now we are fighting a warfare. This is the warfare of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not a warfare in the flesh. It is a warfare in the spirit against the demons that are in this country, USA, and all over the world and all over the universe. We have a warfare at work. We have warfare at home. We have a warfare as we drive. We are in the warfare, and we are fighting with drawn swords and weapons of war. Judges 5:4 says, Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. You know, we have this picture of God the Father seated on the throne and the Holy Spirit right next to him, and Jesus as the Lamb at his feet. That is all happening. But really, what is happening is, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, as the captain of the heavenly army, and the saints who have gone before, are waging a warfare that is more powerful than the warfare that USA is waging. The end point has already been determined. That is why the Bible says in the book of Psalms, King David says, Blessed be the Lord, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Children of God should not get depressed that there is warfare, problem after problem, warfare after warfare. We are in the battlefield, and the Bible tells us, let everyone that is in the church of the living God fight the battle as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When we are out in the battlefield, we don't have the privileges that we have at home. And that is the situation that we are in. We are in the battlefield. Joel 2:7 says about the army of the living God, New Jerusalem Church. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break the ranks. We are in a battlefield. We read that in the book of Habakkuk, that God is going before us. And though the fig tree do not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the flocks be cut off from the field, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. So in Habakkuk 3, there is a prophecy about what God is doing now and what God is doing exactly. So Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. This verse 7 is about the Middle East and about what is happening right now, the warfare. And it says, Lord, why are you angry? Why are you riding on your horses? Why are your chariots marching forward? The mountains are trembling. The waters are gurgling. The deep is uttering his voice. And you lifting up your hand, the sun and moon are standing still, verse 11. And the arrows are going forth. You're marching through the land in indignation. You're threshing the heathen in anger. Thou art going forth for the salvation of thy people, for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked. Thou didst strike the enemy in the head. Thou didst walk through the sea. And then he goes on to say, I don't care about what happens to me or my riches or my wealth. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. And he goes on to say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make me strong and make me to ride upon my high places. Psalm 46 again tells us about this war. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted among the earth. When God says be still, he's telling us just relax. As the Lord told Moses, it is not thy battle, it is my battle. Just follow me. The Lord will fight for you and hold your peace. 2019, we've had many challenges. 2020, we'll have many challenges. But the word of the Lord is, be still and know that I am God. What does the word God mean? G-O-D. God is the greatest. He's greater than the enemy. He's greater than anything. He's more powerful than anything. He's the greatest in the universe. What does O mean? He is omnipotent. He is almighty. With him, nothing is impossible. He is the deliverer. Whatever our situation, he delivers us from all our situation. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire. He delivered the children of Israel from Pharaoh and from the Red Sea. In 2020, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God, that I am the greatest, I am the omnipotent, I am the deliverer. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. There's many blasphemies going on, people trying to wipe out Christianity, all kinds of things on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere. But God is saying, be still and know that I am the greatest omnipotent deliverer. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. There will be open air conventions in Saudi Arabia, preaching the word of God publicly. And not a dog is going to bark when the word of the Lord is proclaimed. There will be open air evangelistic meetings from New Jerusalem Church in the People's Republic of China. And not even a cat is going to purr when New Jerusalem Church preaches the word boldly. There is a war going on. God has gone forth with a mighty, powerful army to bring a revival all over the world. And the greatest revival is going to go forth from New Jerusalem Church like it has never been known. The power of God will be manifested. The river of the water of life will go forward. And everything that the river of the water of life touches will be brought back to life. God told Ezekiel, prophesy unto these dry bones. And the dry bones became a great army. Not just husband and wives and kids. They became a great army. God is in the business of restoring people and making them a mighty army. We are a mighty army. When we see the powers of darkness coming before us, instead of getting concerned, we take the name of Jesus Christ and bind them in the name of Jesus and march forward, because we are captains of the Lord's host. We are the heavenly army. God has told us, you are my powerful church, my army. No weapons can destroy you. No power of the enemy can attack you. I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have a war. It is a great war. And the captain of the Lord, so Jesus Christ, is going before us. Let us march forward. All the promises of God are for us. Let us believe it in the past tense and thank Him for already accomplishing it. As the word says, if you believe, it will happen. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us.